Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, if you have your Bibles today. And I have a very simple, short, devotional word for us today, covering a couple of different topics, but mainly I want to talk to you about my exceeding great reward. What is that? Let's look in Genesis chapter 15. We're going to read one verse, the first verse, and it says this: After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision. That's interesting, just that part of that verse there, that sometimes the word of the Lord will be communicated to us in a vision. The Expositor Study Bible has a great note on that particular portion of this scripture. It says this: This presents one of the four ways which God spoke to individuals in Old Testament times. First of all, he spoke in visions. For an example of that, you can look at Amos chapter 7, verse 1. There are many other examples. Secondly, he spoke in dreams. A couple of examples of that would be Genesis 41:1 and Daniel 2:1. There are many other examples. Thirdly, God revealed himself by speaking directly to the prophets mouth to mouth, according to Daniel 12 and 8. And he spoke through his word, Matthew 4:4. So those are four ways that God spoke to people in Old Testament times. And it says the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham. Fear not, Abram. This was before the covenant was cut and the name change took place. So he calls him Abram. Fear not, Abram. But this is Abraham. For those of you that maybe haven't understood that, Abram, his name was changed to Abraham a little later. This portion of that first verse shows that fear had been present in his life. He was afraid that he might be killed by his enemies before the great promise of God could come to pass in his life. And that promise of God, of course, was regarding a son being born into the world, that it would carry the line of the Messiah. And God gave him that promise. And Abraham must have feared. How many times have I feared over a promise that God has given me in my life? Len, I'm going to do this, this, and this through your ministry, if you will walk before me humbly. And how many times have I feared, well, what if it doesn't come to pass? What if I get sick? What if we don't have enough funds to do it, Lord? And on the list would go. And these type of fears can be very real, but they can also be totally imaginary. I mean, totally without basis in reality. The mind can go into a place beyond reality if it's not anchored fully into the Word of God. Fear not, Abram. He says, I am your shield, which signifies protection. I'm going to protect you. Child of God, listen today. God wants to protect us from our enemies, no matter who or what those enemies are. In the Old Testament typology, they would talk about physical enemies. As it refers to us today, it's spiritual enemies, but also it could be physical. In the world in which we live today, in the way that society is, we need not fear to go out and travel to preach the gospel, to go do the business of the kingdom, because the Lord is our shield. He is our protection, just as he was these thousands of years ago in the life of Abram. Amen? And he says, and your exceeding great reward. Now, the Expositor Study Bible again says there, the Lord was telling the great patriarch that he had his eyes too much on the promise instead of the giver of the promise. The Lord is to always be looked at as the reward. Then the promise is sure to come. But too often we get our eyes on the gift instead of the giver. I like that note. That's awesome. And it's very true that sometimes we get our eyes on the gift. Oh, the gift that's in my life. Or we get it on the ministry that I have, the ministry that God has given me. Our first basis should be fellowship with the Lord as the great reward of our faith. We put our faith in what Christ did for us at the cross. The reward of that is the fellowship with Him, His presence in us and in our lives on a daily and consistent basis. And that should be what we seek first. You see, our speech betrays us so many times as to where our thinking really is. Again, my gift, my call, my ministry. And listen, if God has given you a gift, a call, and a ministry, you are to be a steward over it. Absolutely. You are to steward that thing, do the best job you can do, but your eyes need to be first and foremost on Jesus Christ and Christ crucified and Him alone. And when you get that right, everything else will fall into place. There are many times, and people struggle with this, as they wonder why their ministry isn't coming to pass as quickly as they thought it should. Perhaps their eyes are too much on them and not enough on Jesus. Because when your eyes, hallelujah, are on Jesus, when they are on the giver of the promise, then the promise is sure to follow. Glory be to God. And we learn all that from a portion of a verse here in Genesis 15. Father, help us to give this message today, Father, this little devotional time where we can take your word and help it to transform our lives and renew our minds in the name of Jesus. And everybody would say amen and amen. Now, the setting of every text is extremely important when it comes to determining the meaning and the purpose of that text. So we have to go back to Genesis chapter 14, where we read that Abram won a great victory over four major kings of that time. He succeeded in freeing his nephew Lot from their grasp, and he took the possessions that had been absorbed while defeating five other kings and returned home. With the help of the Lord and a little over 300 of his personal servants, who for the most part would not have been experienced warriors, he had prevailed. God had caused Abraham to prevail in Genesis 14. Let's think about that for just a moment. In one chapter previous, God had caused Abram to prevail over five kings and then four kings. Actually, it's backwards, four kings and then five kings. Abraham defeats nine different kings. There's a very good indication that Abram was fearful that these kings that he had defeated would retaliate against him, possibly ending his life and nullifying the promise that God had made to him regarding a redeemer coming through his family line. Wow. This, I would say, would be a legitimate fear. Abram had reason to believe that this could possibly happen. I mean, he had just defeated these kingdoms, these kings. He had just defeated them. He had taken the spoil. God had told him to go back to his home and returning there, having time to think about what they had just done, what they had just come through. This was a reasonable fear that these guys are going to come after us now. They're going to come after me. They could end my life, and that would stop God's promise to me. I want to tell you a very simple principle, child of God, today. If God has given you a promise, if God has given you a word for your life, for your church, for your ministry, for your family, whatever the word that God has given you, and it has not come to pass at this time, now you may have a fight on your hands as the enemy, demon spirits, every devil in hell will try to steal that promise and cause it to not come to pass. But I want to tell you, if you will fight the good fight of faith, if you will war a good warfare in the name of Jesus Christ, then if God has given you a promise, He will bring it to pass, and Satan can't take you out before your time. Satan cannot take you out until that promise comes to pass. Now, it may be a fight. It might be a fight. Sometimes people lose that fight. But they don't have to lose it. Hallelujah. Because we can win every time if we'll keep our faith in Christ and Him crucified. The problem is when we start to depend on other things to bring us through to victory. Abram should not have been fearful, but like all of us, he was probably beginning to doubt God's all-encompassing protection regarding his person and his life and his promise. Whenever this happens, a lie of an enemy can seem to be more real to us than even the promise of God. Because you have a promise that was given on a starry night. Standing there looking up into the heavens, can you count those stars, Abraham? A promise given on a starry night, a voice that you don't hear every day of a person that you can't see at all. And this lie of the enemy comes based on this flesh and blood situation that we can see, that we can feel. So not only do we have the voice of the enemy coming against us, but we also have the five physical senses that will try to rob you of the promise that God has given you for your life. Not only will the enemy come in trying to use fear tactics, but he will use every one of your sense gates to try to rob you as well. We could imagine, the Bible doesn't say exactly, but we could imagine that perhaps there were others in Abraham's camp, there were others in his company that maybe even aided the voice of the enemy in putting doubts into his mind. The Bible doesn't say that specifically here about Abram, but we do see other examples of that in Scripture. For example, when Nehemiah was working on rebuilding the wall, and the enemies of the work of the Lord began to taunt him and say, "You'll never do it. You'll never build that wall. It'll never stand. It'll never last." How many voices do you hear from flesh and blood people today in your life that say you can never do what God's called you to do? It'll never happen. You can't make it. You're not good enough. You're not enough. Blah, 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 blah. Blase splee. How many? How many voices have come against the promise of God in your life? Well, I want to tell you something. If you'll keep your faith in what Jesus has done for you, all of those voices will one day be drowned out by the thundering fulfillment of the promise of God. You see, this book, when you open its pages, even though, and I'm speaking of a kind of in a cliche type of way here, but listen to me. This book, these words on the page are soft and quiet. So I know the Holy Spirit will sometimes shout it out in our hearts, but as far as the natural, we don't really hear anything. We may hear ourselves reading it out loud, but these are words on a page. But have you ever noticed how much noise the fulfillment of the promise makes? Glory be to God. So these voices that we can hear with the natural ear, the flesh and blood situations, the sense gates, those who would be enemies of the work of the Lord, or those who would be opposed to us. There's a lot of people who don't want us to succeed because they're not succeeding. Yada, yada, on and on we go. But when this type of thing starts to happen, it can be definitely louder than a word on a printed page. And it can be a formidable obstacle to us. Now, don't get me wrong. All along the way, the Holy Spirit will speak, and He sometimes speaks loudly to us. But sometimes God puts us in a testing situation. And are we going to believe the Word simply because the Word says it? Or do we need to hear it louder than the voice of the enemy? And I believe that we could keep the Word and believe the Word simply because it says it, no matter how loud the enemy is. But when that promise is fulfilled, Glory, hallelujah. When that promise is fulfilled, it's going to drown out every enemy. It's going to drown out every voice of negativism. It's going to drown out every descending voice. It's going to drown out all of our senses. It's going to be so great, so stupendous, so miraculous and wonderful that our senses will be blown. Glory to God. Just like short-circuited, glory to God, when that promise fulfillment comes. This is the reason why we are to, the scripture says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith and ward off fear that the enemy uses to bring against us. I want to tell you something. True faith, listen, true faith is not the absence of all fear. It is rather the conquering of all fear. That's what the Word of God teaches. True faith is not the absence of all fear. It is the conquering of all fear. In this life, there's going to be times when we will experience fear. We will come face to face with it. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 25 and 26. It says, be not afraid of sudden fear. See, there's going to be times when fear is going to come suddenly. Suddenly. Neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. Notice it says when it comes. It's coming. The desolation of the wicked. And you're going to be living nearby. Here, you hear me? Oh, hallelujah. But you're the righteous. So you don't have to fear the desolation of the wicked when it comes. Verse 26. For the Lord shall be your confidence and shall keep your foot from being taken. Glory to God. So the Bible evidence is that we are to conquer fear through faith. Doesn't mean there won't be fear. It doesn't mean fear will not attack us. But it does mean we will, as a persevering fight, as a persevering battle, we will conquer all fear through faith. Faith in what Jesus has done for us. We need to ask ourselves some questions when fear attempts to grip our hearts. Has God ever let me down? Has God ever been defeated? What promises in my life remain for God to fulfill? Has God brought me this far to fail now? Of course not, beloved. Looking back at the times that fear has gripped Len Paxton's heart, has gripped and weighed heavy on my soul, I have to say that I should have known better than to succumb to that fear. But we all do it. If you're struggling with fears in your life, and many people are right now, we're living in some scary times, and the older we get, there are some scary things that start happening. Don't ever let anybody condemn you for facing the fear. Let me put it this way to you. I'm being a little bit humorous, but let me put it this way to you. How are you going to whip that devil if you don't ever see that devil? Come on, somebody. Don't let anybody condemn you for facing fear. That's what you need to do, is face your fear. Hallelujah. I got things in my life that I know I need to confront head on. Just confront it and be done with it, whip it, and go on to the next. Don't ever let anybody condemn you, because again, remember, true faith is not the absence of all fear. It is the conquering of all fear. The conquering of all fear. I should have known better than to succumb to that fear. Fear is an enemy of the soul. Fear can cause us to take hasty actions, and it debilitates the individual to stand still or to take no action at all. And sometimes the enemy is running over God's people because rather than fighting the good fight of faith, they're standing still, so frozen in fear that they can take no action at all. And when you're in that posture, you're an easy target for the flying arrows of the enemy. You're an easy target. What you need to do is be moving in the Spirit. You are to be moving in the Spirit, constantly moving in the Spirit, going from one level to another, from glory to glory. Now you're a moving target. Oh, you're still a target because you're a believer in the blood of Jesus, but now at least you're a moving target. You ain't so easy to hit, glory be to God. Keep your faith out there. Fight that good fight of faith, hallelujah. And conquer those fears. We conquer fear by the word of God. We conquer fear also by the Holy Spirit. We conquer fear also by prayer. We conquer fear by moving in the Spirit. And listen, God will never throw us over at those times of fear the way that some people teach He will. God is not going to leave you helpless. God is not going to let you become prey to your enemy just because you're battling fear. So don't receive condemnation for the battle that you're facing. Receive encouragement that you are an overcomer. You are a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror in the name of Jesus, the book of Romans chapter 8 tells us. Amen. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Hallelujah. So don't receive condemnation. Conquer. Be who you are. Overcoming, conquering child of Almighty God. God does not throw us over. If we succumb to fear, even, He will not throw us over. Instead, over and over again in Scripture, He comforts His servants with the words, "Fear not, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed." God walks with us through the fear. He encourages us to let faith rise, and He commands fear to be diminishing. He told Abraham here, He said, "I am your shield." And this shield that He was referring to, the Hebrew word, it refers to the smaller shield of the warrior. A warrior had a big shield he would put in front of him and he could literally stand behind it. And then he had a smaller shield that he could use in close-up battle conduct that would cover his vital parts. No matter from which direction the enemy strikes, this smaller shield referred to here is easily turned to ward off the incoming blows of the enemy. God says to Abram and to us as well, He says, "I am your shield." We can turn to God to ward off any oncoming blows of any enemy that is attempting to come against our lives today. Can anybody say hallelujah? What a comfort to realize and to know that before our enemy can get to our lives, our families, our ministries, our churches, he has to get by the eternal, omnipotent God who stands guard over us at all times. Hallelujah. Now that diminishes fear right there. Once you realize that no matter what you have to go through, no matter what you have to face, no matter the obstacles and difficulties, no matter the sorrow and the heartache that you have to endure, the eternal God who is omnipotent, meaning all powerful, is watching over you day and night. Glory to God. He's standing guard over your heart, over your mind, over your soul, and over your body. The total person, God is interested in the total person of His children. At a time of great opposition, when nearly all of Israel stood ready to kill him, the attack was being led by his own son Absalom, but David pushed away the fear that attempted to grip his heart and declared in Psalm 3, verse 3, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me," same word, "my glory and the lifter up of my head." Same meaning as Abraham's shield. David trusted in the Lord's ability. Abram trusted in the Lord's ability to protect them. And they found the rest, R-E-S-T, of faith. How do you best know when you're in faith? Check how much rest, R-E-S-T, you're walking in. That's an excellent determiner Are you in faith or are you in fear? And if you find yourself in fear, you take the tools and the weaponry that God has given you, and you can take that shield and ward that off, and then you can fire back at it with the word of God, and that enemy will fall. That enemy will fall. Sure enough, when we look back at David's life, Absalom's revolt was defeated, and God brought David through victorious. Someday I'm going to do a lesson on the Absalom spirit, because just that very story alone applies more to the church today than we dare realize. It applies so greatly that words fail to tell how that people are rising up against God-ordained leadership in the church world today. And there actually is a fear sometimes that will grip pastors' hearts and fivefold ministry hearts of the people that they're going to leave and they're going to draw others away unto themselves like Absalom did against his own father David. But I want to tell you something. In the end, David won. God-ordained leadership won. God won. Hallelujah. Because God has a way that he does things clearly lined out in his word. God has established authority in the church. And one thing that social media has done that has been tremendously hurtful and sinful is it has diminished in view God's appointed leadership voice, and it's overemphasized everyone's voice is equal. That's unbiblical, friend. That's unbiblical. God has a rank in his kingdom. God has an order of authority, and everybody is not equal when it comes to that issue. Everybody's equal when it comes to the cross, when it comes to salvation. But God has authority, and guess what? You and I need to be under the authority that God's placed in our lives. And if we're not, if nothing's placed in our lives, then we need to start praying about that, asking God to send us somebody that we can submit to. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Because we have to go God's way if we want God's blessings. You hearing me? So the fear was very real that came against Abraham, just like the fear was very real that came against David. But God only asked one thing of us. He asked us to believe that he is our shield. He asked us to believe he's our fortress, our buckler, and our strong tower. When we run to the Lord in a time of adversity, we shall be safe. He asked us to believe that. That's all. He doesn't ask us to take on the responsibility to make sure that fear never tries to come against us again. He only simply asks us to believe, and then we're safe. We are safe, and we can walk in the rest, R-E-S-T, of faith. And God teaches us in times like these, like we've seen through Abraham, like we talked about a little bit with David and Absalom, God teaches us a most valuable lesson, or at least he tries to. That lesson is the true precious value of our relationship with God. Our reward in this life is not what God does for us. It isn't the miracles that he performs. It's not the new better job, not the new better car, the raise in pay that may come our way. Our reward is not seeing family members saved even, or our ministries spreading the gospel effectively. None of that's our reward. These are blessings, and we should praise God over it. Hallelujah. But our true reward is the fact that God, the creator of heaven and earth, sea and sky, and all that in them is, walks with us and talks with us and comforts us and delivers us from fear. Praise God. He delivers us from all enemies, not just fear. He'll deliver you from worry too. He'll deliver us from sickness and disease. He'll deliver us from poverty. But the emphasis here is on the person of the deliverer, not the deliverance itself. And that's what God was trying to get across to Abraham. We have the wondrous beauty of his person. Jesus is our reward. Our relationship to God is what Jesus died to supply first and foremost. Even if the trial that I am going through doesn't conclude in the way that I hope, no one can ever take away the fact that God Himself walks with me through this trial. He is my reward. His person is my gift. His presence is my treasure. And when we let this truth dominate in our hearts and lives, we win no matter what. I want you to let that sink in as I close. God is my reward. His presence is my treasure. His person is my gift. And when we let this truth dominate our hearts and lives, we win no matter what. So today I choose not to fear, for God Himself is my shield. Today I choose not to be dominated by sinful habits or sin of any kind, because He is my shield. Today I choose to allow the Lord to live big in and through my life. Not because I'm special, not because I'm good, but because I'm loved, I can believe that He is my shield, my buckler, and my exceeding great reward. This is what God taught Abraham before he could change his name, before he had to teach Abram. Before he could change his name to Abraham, he had to teach him that he was the treasure that he needed, that Abram needed to be seeking. The Bible says he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. What was he doing? He was looking for New Jerusalem. He was looking for the dwelling place of his shield and buckler. Glory to God, glory to God. My exceeding great reward is the presence, the power, the love of Almighty God walking with me through everything I face in my life. That's my reward. That's the reward I look to as a believer. I have placed my faith in Jesus Christ, what He did at the cross for me, and I know that because of that I am loved. And I know that because of that, I am valuable to God. Because of that, if you wonder how valuable you are to God, just look at the price that God paid to redeem you. He gave His Son on a cross. And so if that be true, and friend, it is, then no matter what I go through today, I know that God's going to walk with me. He's going to walk with me and talk with me and tell me that I am His very own. And that is my exceeding great reward. And that is your exceeding great reward as a Christian today too. So you need not fear the darkness if you will but walk in the light. And God will walk with you. Hallelujah. He will uphold you with His mighty power as we face the days that are ahead of us. We will come out victorious. No matter how the circumstance comes out, we are victorious if we are in Christ. Father, thank You for this short devotional message with Your people today. God, I praise Your holy name and I worship You. God, I thank You so much for speaking to my heart here this day and for using this poor preacher, hopefully, to be a blessing here today. And God, we love You in Jesus' name. We thank You for Your anointing. And everybody would say, amen and amen.